Hey everybody, thanks for joining me on the Easiest Way to Learn Astrology podcast. I think this is episode number 4. Yay. I've got Ina and Carol, my mentees here. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great.
Yay. So we're
talking
about mutable energy. Hello, Diana. We talked about cardinal energy. We talked about fixed energy. Now we're talking about mutable energy. These are all the building blocks of astrology, and I'd like you guys to all start looking at astrology as a prism. When we shine a light into a prism, it's just white light, and then it breaks that white light into the color spectrum, red, green, blue, indigo, all that stuff. Astrology is no different. It takes that new age white light energy, and it breaks it down into cardinal, fixed and mutable, and fire and earth and air and water. And we can have more and more terms that will apply later on. But that's all it does. It allows us to isolate each different wavelength of energy. So we get more results for less effort. Carol.
Yes.
We're at a dance club. We have a cardinal couple, a fixed couple, and a mutable couple. The music starts. Who's the first one on the dance floor?
The cardinal couple.
Why?
Because they're the most forceful. They just want to get out there, and they want to be first, and they want to move.
Right. They want to be first. They won't ask permission. Now, here's a trick question, Diana, and don't. I know you're going to get this wrong, but don't get mad at me, because I know I'm picking on you.
You love trick question.
The cardinal couple is out on the dance floor. Now,
yep.
There's another cardinal couple, and a fixed couple, and a mutable couple. So who's the second couple out on the dance floor?
Mutable.
Wrong. But you're close. You're very, very close. The second one, and that's why it's a trick question, is the cardinal couple. Because the moment the first cardinal couple goes, hey, let's dance, you know, this is a whole alpha personality. The other cardinal couple, the other alpha people go, oh, hell no. And so it's like a race to the dance floor. I was here first. Well, that may be as it so, but I'm out here now. So that's how cardinal couples can go out here. Now, Diana's right, though. The moment that the cardinal couples kind of give permission, which is what they're doing. I mean, mutable couples like, wow, you want to dance? I don't know. I don't want to dance. Oh, look, they're dancing. Well, okay, fine. Let's go dance. So mutable energy adapts. Cardinal energy is like, I'm going to go do this. I don't care if anybody likes it or not. And then the other cardinal couple is like, hey, that's a great idea, but they want to be first too. And then after that, all the mutable couples will go, well, hell, you know, that sounds like a good idea, because they have permission. Mutable doesn't start anything, but once things are going, you can change things. Now, that leaves all of the fixed couples. So all of that fixed energy has a decision to make. They have to say, well, everybody's doing it, therefore it's the right thing to do because it's tradition, and you know, we don't want to buck the system. Or they could say, I'm not moving. You can't get me out on that dance floor of those damn hippies. So fixed energy is not exactly predictable as far as whether they'll go dancing or not, but they're very predictable that they're not going to change their opinion or let a bunch of damn hippies tell them what to do. You guys don't have any questions on that, do you? Because I touch on this stuff already, right?
No, right,
oh,
so far.
Okay.
I don't know if I've told you guys this, but I'm going to surprise everybody with this. I think I've got a really easy way to classify cardinal, fixed, and mutable energy. And again, if you're just joining the podcast, cardinal energy is the beginning. It's the cutting edge of energy. Like morning is the beginning of the day. Like, oh, look, it's dawn. Well, it's not night anymore. And then fixed energy is the middle, like, you know, beginning, middle, end of a story, the peak, the high point of a story. That's fixed energy, because it's right in the middle. It doesn't start anything. It doesn't change anything. It's the peak. Now, where we get this from is each season, words each day, you know, your choice, has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Each season has 3 months, for example. We have 12 months, 4 seasons. Simple math. We got 3 months, a beginning month, a middle month, and an end month. So the fixed month is the middle month. The fixed part of the day is noon, middle of the day. Fixed part of the night is midnight. It's the middle of the night. It's not sunset. It's not just before sunrise. So the extremes are fixed. Matter of fact, Carol, that makes sense in and of itself. I didn't think of it that way. The extremes are fixed. Racists, bigots, far right, far left, you know, people with entrenched mindsets, zealots.
Right.
That's a good example of fixed energy. I believe this, and damn it, nobody's going to change my opinion. That's why we use the term fixed. So I'm going to throw this out there again. Oh, and then mutable. Mutable energy is anything that's adaptable. I like to use the concept of recycling. Hey, I'm going to buy a beer. Okay, I'm going to drink a beer, and I'm falling over drunk. But my beer can is done, so if I throw it in the recycling bin, it will go through a process where it gets destroyed. It's no longer a beer can. And then it gets turned into something new. Now, the process of turning it into something new, that'll be cardinal. That'll, you know, at some point. But just the idea of it being broken down to be used for something else is mutable energy. Just the way that the ending month of a season breaks down that energy so that we can have a brand new season to start with. Or if you really want a mind trip, fall, the whole concept of the leaves dying and turning into, they change colors because they're starved for food. They turn red and they're brown and they die. And then they crunch up and they become soil so that new plants can grow. So that's the whole mutable thing. But my little analogy that I'm so proud of that I keep avoiding, I'm going to use combat as or sport as an example of the difference between cardinal, fixed, and mutable. Now, Diana, a boxer, a wrestler, and a judo master can all be said to be athletes or fighters, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So that's a core category, like energy. We can say cardinal, fixed, and mutable are forms of energy in the way that a boxer, a wrestler, and a judo master are all professional fighters. So, Carol, professional boxer's job is to stand there and just inflict damage, just punch, punch, punch. It's very cardinal, right?
Right.
It's not so much any blocking. I mean, you can move your arms a bit, you know. When I say there's not so much blocking, I mean, yeah, you know, you try to keep the other guy from punching you. But you don't have a shield. You don't use your legs. You don't jump out of the way. It's pretty much you stand there and take it. The main thing is you just try to punch the other guy fast enough and hard enough while not letting him punch you. So boxers would be very... Oh, and even have red gloves. How about that? Red is very cardinal, right?
Right.
So I'm going to put boxers in the cardinal energy camp. Okay, very simple. I punch you until you fall over. You know, it's all about the big score. It's knockout. You know, woohoo. Now, a wrestler, especially, and I mean, I don't care what anybody says about it being fake. Wrestlers, especially professional wrestlers, are fixed energy. Now, Olympic wrestlers, it's all about holding or grappling. You're not allowed to punch people. Your job is to, you know, keep them fixed. Remember, fixed energy. Your job is to hold them in place and pin their shoulders to the mat, which means you're pinning them, holding them in place. They are very fixated. You're very fixated on making them fixed. Your job is to make sure they can't move. So still combat, still fighting, but boxing is all about aggressive punching. That's cardinal. I'm enforcing my will on you. where wrestling is holding something in place. And then, of course, professional wrestling is all about the big flashy moves. Now, that would be very fixed, because fixed is, again, the prime or the middle part, the most dramatic part of energy. If we, by comparison, if we have a spark, that would be cardinal. It starts the fire. The big giant bonfire would be the fixed part of the energy. And then the embers and the dying coals, that's it. Staying with our boxer, wrestler, judo master, this makes judo master mutable energy. Now, at first blush, it's easy to say, wow, well, the boxer or the wrestler, that's where all the power is, because, you know, you got a guy who's just weighs like 800 pounds and he's got chest of steel, and when he throws his fist at you, it just goes, you know, goes through walls. It's like, blam, you know, good luck standing up to that. Now, on the other hand, the wrestler's advantage is that if he gets you in close enough, or he can hold you in one place, you can't throw any punches. He can flip you over and pin your shoulders to the ground. You're going to be punching air, you know, but still, he's holding you down. You can't go anywhere. So that's more of that immovable object. And what was the other one, Carol? Unstoppable force, right?
Right.
Unstoppable force versus immovable object. So that sounds like where all the power is, but the beautiful thing about the judo master is his whole training is to use your energy against you. So Mr. Boxer goes and throws a punch, and this punch would like flatten five people at once. He throws a punch at the judo master. The judo master just kind of leans off to the side, and the punch goes right past him. Well, you can't do damage to something if you can't hit him. So the boxer has expended an inordinate amount of energy, a gigantic amount of energy, punching. So the judo master just leans off to the side using as little energy as possible. Punch misses him. Then he reaches up lightning quick and grabs the boxer and throws him using the boxer's own momentum. Now, this is an example of mutable energy, where mutable means adaptable. So anything mutable adapts. Ergo, the judo master adapts to the situation. He just gets out of the way. And then he allows all that cardinal force that's coming at him, he just picks it up and throws him. So it's not like mutable energy can't do something. Mutable energy adapts to something and then changes it. Again, with the wrestler comes at the mutable energy guy, and the judo master just slips right out of his grasp and drops him to the ground. So, boxer, wrestler, judo master, all of these have their own unique skill set. Now, if you put them in a big MMA ring, all things being equal, it's pretty hard to tell who's going to win just based on style. In that same sense, cardinal, fixed, and mutable energy all have their abilities and their weaknesses. And when we know this and we realize that everything in life, everything on Earth, even the sun, which technically isn't on Earth, can be broken down into cardinal, fixed, and mutable, then like crazy evil scientists, we can build any construct. We can deconstruct anything. We can find the weakness of anything, any problem we have to solve. And we can cobble anything together to create the giant robot of strength to solve any problem. Just by knowing how to break energy down into cardinal, fixed, mutable. Carol, can you give me something cardinal? Something in life that we would see that's cardinal?
A fireman rushing in to rescue somebody from a fire.
Yes, a stop sign or a fireman, absolutely. Give me another one, please.
Let's see. A soldier rushing into combat, storming the hill.
Boy, you're all about You're all about hot hunks running around.
Yeah, I know. That's really what I tune into when I tune into that.
Here I am. Oh. I was thinking of an auto accident. You know, you're just
okay. I was just gonna say a car. Cars crashing.
Well, let me follow your line of thinking, and you've got the boss yelling at you. You know, again.
Right.
You're just doing your thing, and all of a sudden he comes out. Or in your terminology, your hot boss comes yells at you. Diana, would you give me something that is fixed energy, just something we would see in daily life, defensive, fixed, unchanging?
Fixed energy, the tree.
I'm sorry, what?
The tree.
Oh, a tree, totally. By comparison, we go to the park and we play frisbee and we eat lunch at a picnic and then we leave. We come and walk our dog, and then we leave, and we go in the park, and somebody gets mugged, and we beat them up, and don't have the person who gets mugged. That would really suck. But the tree is just stays there. So the tree
changes
more slowly over time. So by our measurement, yeah, it's fixed. It just stands there. Or a rock, you know, a rock, especially a big giant one, it just sits there.
A mountain.
Now, if a mountain becomes a volcano, it all of a sudden it's cardinal because it's like shooting out, vomiting fire and brimstone and stuff. But yeah, a mountain or a wall, like that wall, your house, you know, anything that is routine, habit, reliable, that's fixed. So, Carol, by this logic, give me something mutable, please.
Fish float. Fish going in and out of their little hideaways in an aquarium.
Okay, just right, just kind of swimming. Okay, yeah, let's try again. Diana, do you have anything mutable for me?
Talking, having conversations.
To some extent, yeah. Let me see if I can help you guys out here. Mutable energy is that part of energy that is flexible, adaptable, and it concludes or transforms into something else. And I'll give you an example here. If you have a knife in your kitchen, now Carol, the blade itself is cardinal, right?
Right, because it's right, the cutting force.
Right, it's sharp, it cuts,
right.
It changes. So the job of the blade is to slice or to chop. It's what it was made to do. And that's the other thing, is that it doesn't try to do anything else. This is no different from cardinal energy. Cardinal energy is the drill instructor, you know, barking orders at you, calling you a maggot. Because his job is to break you down and build you back up and toughen you up. There's no question in cardinal energy. It changes things because it does that. What does this have to do with astrology? You're going to have to follow along. And when you get all this, when we get into the heavy stuff, you're going to go, oh my God, this makes so much sense. And it really will be easy, but no terminology yet. Now, by contrast, because I want to stay with this knife thing, Diana, the handle of your knife is fixed, right?
Right, because you don't have to sharpen it.
Right. Well, plus it's what you hold on to. You know, it's
yep.
Right. It's not it's the part that supports the cardinal part. Yeah, and it is the part that you hold. You know, grasping something and holding on to it, that's definitely fixed energy. Now you could also say that the back of the blade. This doesn't work on a double-edged knife, but, you know, your normal kitchen knife has a back, you know, it's like a spine. That's fixed energy. It's the backbone of your knife. So there's no mutable part of a knife, right, Carol?
Correct.
Okay. Now, if anything, the mutable part of a knife is whatever it's cutting. The act of cutting or chopping something with your knife, of course, forces it to resist your knife. Okay, let's say we're trying to cut a lead pipe. That would be cardinal energy, that's your knife, trying to cut a stronger fixed energy, which is the lead pipe. You know, the lead pipe win, you know, because it's a stronger energy. Now, if you're cutting a piece of celery or an onion, for example, you might say that's normally fixed energy because it's solid and just sits there. But the fact that your knife is forcing it to adapt makes the celery or the onion, in this case, mutable. Right, guys?
Correct.
Yay. Oh, here. An easy way to tell if anything is mutable is to do something to it. Fill a bucket with water. Well, bucket doesn't change, right? But the water does. The water adapts to the shape of the bucket. So the bucket is fixed in this case, and the water is mutable because you dumped the water and the water just said, okay, I'll just conform to the shape of this bucket and hang out here. Now, if you dump the water on the ground, the bucket keeps its shape, but the water pours out and splashes everywhere. So, Diana.
Yep.
It's the bucket. What quality of energy is the bucket?
Bucket is fixed.
It hasn't changed. What about the water?
The water is mutable because it
just went everywhere.
It went everywhere.
And then it starts to evaporate. So now it's even more mutable because it's changing to the environment because the heat is going, oh, we'll evaporate and become something else. And then you are cardinal for dumping the water onto the ground. The ground is fixed because it's not changing anything. You know, it's like the ground is just hanging out there, and then you are cardinal and came out and dumped water onto it. You know, you could punch the ground, but then, of course, that would have a quite different effect. Okay, so we toss the bucket, it stays fixed even as it bounces around, and you're still cardinal because you're the one who tossed the bucket. Go ahead and kick the bucket, you're still cardinal, bucket's still fixed. That's pretty clear, I think, isn't it?
Yes.
I like having you guys to bounce off of just to make sure I'm not losing anybody.
Well, water also could be fixed when it's frozen.
Yes, good point. Water, Carol brought this up in class. Water is the only element or material that can be cardinal, fixed, or mutable, or what did you say, the three phases of existence, Carol?
I said it was liquid, liquid, solid, or gas.
Right. As Diana said, it would be fixed when it's frozen.
Right.
Ice. So fixed, solid, frozen.
Right, or the cardinal when it's steam, I guess with the heat would be kind of cardinal.
Well,
it could be
cardinal when it's a wave. It could be cardinal in
the
ocean.
Right.
The ocean being the birthplace of life. And it could be, you know, if we want to say it's hot and it's burning you, yes, that would be steam. But if it evaporates or it would be a gas, and if it's a liquid, well, it's water, it's liquid. So, I just wanted to cover that. Let's just throw out a few more things of where we would see mutable energy, because we've covered cardinal, fixed, and mutable energy. We've covered polarities, although I want to come back in episode 5, recap polarities in a little bit more detail. And because after that, we're going to jump right into the heavy-duty stuff. Actually, then we're going to go into elements. So we got polarities, and we got qualities. We'll do a quick stop over at episode 5 to recap. Then we're doing elements, and then we get into the heavy-duty stuff. But by then, you know, anybody who's listening will know all this stuff. So where would we see – oh, Carol?
Yes.
And Diana, too, but I'm going to start with Carol. So, Diana, please think of this. Carol, give me something we would just see in daily life. I need a cardinal thing, a fixed thing, and a mutable thing. And they can be related or unrelated. But, you know, I'll give you an example. The mailman. The mailman is mutable. He is bringing us mail. He goes from house to house to house to house to house. Just, you know, The barking dog is cardinal. I mean, the barking dog is like, ah, I'm going to come eat you. Ah. But the leash that holds the dog in place, you know, he runs to the edge of his leash and he's like, ah, I can't go get the mailman. That holds the dog in place. So that's an example of fixed.
Right. And the mailbox would be fixed too.
The mailbox is fixed. It doesn't change. You know,
just, right.
Okay, so your turn. Something cardinal, okay. Fixed, immutable, please.
Okay, well, actually, I was thinking about this when you started talking about the knife. And I thought, okay, you take the knife, which is cardinal. And, in fact, I did this last night. I made this huge salad out of different things. So they would be fixed in and of themselves. Like I made this bread salad. Bread, garlic, olive oil, olives, cheese, tomatoes. And then I cut everything up with the knife, and everything was its own thing. But then I changed the form of everything from the solid, fixed things that they were in and of themselves into something completely different, into the salad.
Right.
Which was mutable, because then all the stuff changed form.
Excellent. Diana?
Guests coming in into my home and dogs barking at them. Okay. Dogs would be cardinal because they're angry.
Right.
Guests would be mutable because they come here, they come there.
They come and go. Yeah.
They come and go, and the house is fixed because it's not going anywhere.
Right. That's a good point. Anything where we know we can find it, you know, for example, again, you know, this is kind of a pun almost, is a fixed point in space or a fixed point on a map. Your guests know that your house is not going to leave. You know, they're like, oh, we know how to get Diana's house because it's right over there, wherever it is, and then we go to it. So, yes, the house is fixed. It doesn't move. It doesn't change. Okay, my turn. Let's see. Something cardinal. The alarm clock. That blasted alarm clock. I'm in the middle of sleeping. I'm having a good time. And all of a sudden, I was in a fixed state. I was sleeping. I did not want to. Again, fixed energy does not want to change. I was asleep. I was having a good time. The alarm clock went, you know, wake up, you damn hippie. And then I had to adapt to the situation. I had to make a decision. Am I going to be fixed? And no, I'm going to stay here and be unpleasant, but I'm not going to move, and that alarm clock is going to keep making noise. Or do I just mutable and say, okay, fine, sleep is over, and I get up and kick the alarm clock. Okay, a few more. Carol?
Yeah, actually, I thought of something else when you were talking about the energy with the wrestler and the boxer and the judo master.
Right.
And it's a famous story, and, you know, just tell me what you think. The story about Rikki Tikki Tavi, you know, the cobra, the cardinal energy striking out.
No, but if we can make it short, yes, let's jump on it. Let's see what happens.
That just had his, you know, his strategy, and he was able to, you know, kill the cobra.
You know what? Why don't you give me something that real people would actually understand?
Sorry, but it just, you know, it just struck me when you were talking about the judo guy.
There's one person listening going, oh, that totally makes sense. And there's 9,999 people that, I'm sorry, this is the astrology podcast. There's 5 people listening. There's 10,000 people that listen to the
I thought of something.
Like 5 people.
In the summertime, when you're laying by the pool, and you're fixed because you're laying out in the sun because you want to rest.
Right.
Energy from the sun makes you so hot, you can't stand it anymore. So even though you don't want to get up, now you're dying of the heat and you have to go in the water and swim around and cool off.
And that is?
Mutable.
Because?
Because you had to get up and move and change to cool off, to go from hot to cool, you know, cool down.
You're lying there baking like a potato. Yeah.
Right, you're fixed. But you're lying down, you're not moving.
Right. And then and eventually you get up and drag your carcass over to the pool and fall in and start splashing around.
Right, because of the cardinal energy from the sun.
Because the cardinal's going heat, light, heat, light.
Right, okay. Light, baking. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Oh, by the way, we only have like 5 listeners to this podcast. That means this is secret information. If you ever wanted to attend a secret mystery school, guess what? Congratulations, you're here. Now, later on when we have a lot of listeners, it won't be a secret mystery school anymore. But for right now, you can say, I attend a secret mystery school. But you shouldn't, because then other people will come, and then, you know, that's kind of self-defeating. Diana, save me. Tag your it. Say something clever and witty.
Cutting pizza with a knife on the board.
We already covered that.
I already cut the pizza.
Give me something new, please.
Tending the garden.
Oh.
Pulling weeds in the garden.
I like that. Ooh, that's, the weeds don't like that one bit.
So, the act of pulling weeds would be cardinal.
Yeah, because you're going in and saying, get the weeds, out.
The weeds themselves would be mutable because they're going from being alive to being dead.
That's pretty much it.
And the garden itself would be fixed because the garden is not changing.
Right, the garden's going to stay there all the time. By the way, just for my metaphysical friends who are listening here, one undervalued aspect of nature to enhance your spell work or manifestation, and again, this works for anybody, this works for Christians, it's just a matter of, figuring out how you access the divine. But weed magic, I'm going to describe it in pagan terms and don't get offended, or if you do, whatever. Weeds inherently grow voraciously. They're healthy, they're strong, they grow anywhere. Weeds grow through cracks, which is a good place to harvest them, for that specific energy, that kind of make it anywhere energy. And we'll go more into that in Aphrodite's Book of Secrets. But just real quick, because you brought this up, Diane, I want to talk about weed magic. Herbs get all the love, and so do flowers. Oh, roses, definitely romance. And then herbs, well, I have some peach tea here that I brewed in the sun. That's right. But nonetheless, the point was fruits, flowers, vegetables, herbs, these get all the love medicinally, magically, philosophically. Weeds are really unloved. They are the red-headed stepchildren of the plant world. But they grow and they grow and they grow and they multiply. Now, a lot of effective prayer or magic is all about, how can I get more of something? I'm going to get more money. How can I get more love? How can I get more help from other people? How can I get more attention? It's not usually less of. We almost always want more, more, more. I'm reminded of that Britney Spears guy. All you want is more, more, more. You're like, she even performed, you bastards. That guy was funny. We need him to come back with a sequel. But Sagittarius, me, I'm getting... Oh, I used an astrological term, sorry. I should put like a quarter every time I use something like that. I get distracted too easily. So here we have weeds just grow on their own. You don't even have to water them. That's how cool weeds are. If you think about it, weeds are just nature's steroids. So, goes to show that if you need to manifest, that's a nice little New Age term, something, if you need to use your affirmations for something, get your friendly weeds. Your weeds, you can, don't just pull them up and throw them away and make them die like that tyrant Diana said. Give them a little home. And definitely water them and miracle grow them. And then, oh my God. Or what's that stuff? Kudzu? That vine from Japan that grows everywhere. But weeds. Weeds will work. Use these to enhance your manifestation or your meditation. Draw off of the energy that nature is providing you. Nature is saying, I have nothing to work with. I have sidewalk and a little tiny crack. I'm going to somehow sprout here, bloom where you're planted, You can't grow a rose in a sidewalk crack, but you can grow a weed. So just by harvesting weeds, you can develop stamina, strength, persistence, massive growth, health. All of these things you can harness with something that people overlook every day, especially the great practitioners of our times. And you won't find this in any book, I promise you. So, since we only have 5 listeners, there's your magical secret. A little bonus treat there. All right, I think we've really covered mutable energy. Look, you know what? If you're listening to this and you don't get mutable energy, listen one more time. And then after you finish vomiting, just email me, at dustywhite.net. And D-U-S-T-Y-W-H-I-T-E, just like it sounds, .net. I'll answer any questions. And then we're going to move into the more advanced concepts of astrology. And as we go along, you're going to learn how to use astrology to get stuff, how to get people to do what you want, how to change your life so it becomes what you want it to be. Astrology is not fatalistic. Astrology is just the measure of everything and anything that's happening on the planet. And we'll talk about how everything's, it's like a giant clock. You just look up the sky and go, oh, it's 6 o'clock. But we'll get into that later because I don't want to get too advanced just yet. Carol and Diana, as always, it is so much easier for me to sit here and talk to you guys than it is to stare at a microphone and try to make sense and be clever. Do you guys have any last-minute things you want to say before I wrap this up?
No, just thanks.
Thank you very much. Diana?
Thank you for the extra lesson.
Thank you. All right, I'll see you guys on Sunday.
Bye.